The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I would like to welcome Deb Mumhill. Deb is the Executive Director of Oregon STEM, and also with us is Kristen Harrison, Executive Director of the Portland Metro STEM Partnership. Hey ladies, welcome to Let's Talk Portland.
Hi.
Hello.
You know, I think we should get started today by defining the difference between STEAM and STEM. Who wants to do that?
I'm happy to. Yeah, happy to. STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. STEAM is science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. So specifically, they're just slightly different acronyms. In practice, they can be a bit controversial, actually. We often find that folks either really resonate with STEM or STEAM. Some really feel that the art must be there in order to value the creativity and innovation and design needed to do great things. And others don't think about that or don't think of that as the same type of priority. What I find in our work is that when done well, STEM involves design and creativity and is also in that way STEAM. And so we really amplify wherever folks come in. If STEM works for them, great. If STEAM works for them, also great. I don't find that the distinction between the two is necessarily very productive, because done well, it's engaged kids doing their creativity and really problem solving and thinking deeply about important things. And so it's an interesting topic, and I highly recommend folks have that discussion with others, because they'll find that it can be a warmer, hotter topic than folks often think.
Yeah. Are STEAM and STEM relatively new concepts?
STEM is a little bit older. Mm-hmm. STEM and STEM education have really been coming along in the last 20 years. And I'd say STEAM more 10 mm-hmm. to 15 years in a good way. I mean, it's really, mm-hmm. They both are young-ish, but STEAM is really coming in. It's steaming in, yeah. If you to play on that.
Ah, clever. Deb, let me ask you, Deb, about Oregon STEM. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so Oregon STEM is a newer 501c3 that was created to support the 13 statewide STEM hubs that are legislatively mandated and supported. And so it's this newer 501c3 that was just stood up to support statewide advocacy, so kind of strategic alignment across the hubs and across basically the K-12 education over to workforce. We kind of sit with one foot. The hubs were created to be this connective tissue in their communities with one foot in industry, one foot in education. When we really started building our DEI strategies much stronger with community-based organizations in school and after school. So they're this connective tissue. Oregon STEM was created. We currently don't have a statewide STEM director in our state. I believe that position's been open for 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years. I'm losing track of time. So the number of the hub directors came together and said we need to have somebody doing kind of system-level statewide advocacy, industry partnership development, because we have a lot of amazing industry in our metro areas that doesn't always know how to reach out to our rural regional areas. And then also always for fundraising, right? That's always a part of 501c3s, is raising more money to support the amazing work that the hubs are doing.
Where are the hubs located throughout the state?
Well, there are 13 of them, and they are all regionally located. They have all EDU, so educational fiscal agents. Some sit with state universities, some sit with community colleges, and a number of them sit with their ESDs, which is a educational school district. But we now cover all 36 counties. The hubs could cover all 36 counties. The first one that was stood up was the Portland Metro STEM Hub. So we started in kind of Intel's backyard. They were very integral in seeing the need for this back in the 2012-13 timeframe. And then the next one was South Metro Salem STEM Hub. And then in 2015, there was a lot of advocacy and support, and House Bill 3072 was stood up. And that's where they started to put state funding towards standing up STEM hubs that would then expand across every county in the region. But it took up until, I'm looking at Kristen here, it took up until maybe 5 years ago that we were able to get that 13th STEM hub stood up.
Yeah, maybe 2018 or
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kristen, tell me about the Portland Metro STEM.
Portland Metro STEM, we get to serve the Portland metro area, not the entirety of it, but a good portion of that. There are about 20% of Oregon students are in our catchment. And Portland Metro STEM given our densely populated region, we really focus on how can we bring STEM opportunities to kids who wouldn't have it otherwise. And there's a few different avenues and initiatives that we pursue in that effort. One is really supporting our community organizations. Are they providing an after-school program and they want to add STEM programming to it? Are they running a summer camp that's always been a certain way and they want to build STEM or STEAM into that? Are they a community cultural center and they want to add programming for STEM into that? We want to work with all of them to help them accomplish those goals and those efforts. We also work with schools and teachers. A lot of professional development for early learning, little kids, elementary, middle, and high school. How can we really help teachers embed more STEM into what they do, embed STEAM into what they do, get access to the tools and resources that they need to realize those goals? And then where can we mitigate barriers? So we have a lending library of equipment that we lend out to community organizations, schools, yes, and anyone, parent organizations, because equipment can be a barrier. Equipment can be expensive. Sometimes it's ultimately worth buying it, but sometimes maybe they just want to borrow it for a week or get a chance to test it out and see if they love it and if their students love it and it's worth them to purchase it. So that's really been a key strategy for us. Our overarching mantra is we can accomplish more together. So when is it better for us to work together to get an amplified effect? And so you'll really see that's a compass that drives us. How can we get more outcomes for more students, more access for more students by working together?
When you talk about equipment, what type of equipment are you talking about?
Sure. It's fun. Our lending library is a fun place to get to spend time. We have everything from fort building sets, which is a great read on geometry and a whole lot of other great mathematical and design concepts, to simple robots that five-year-olds can code themselves, to wow. more advanced robots, to sensors to measure water quality, temperature, dissolved oxygen. We have digital microscopes. Those are among my favorites. You even hand those to an adult and they'll instantly, you know, put their hand under it or a dollar bill under it to really get that close-up view. And those are just a few examples, but there's a lot of different resources that can really help be that spark for a kid or a program. And we just try to respond and have the best opportunities and resources available.
Yeah. We're talking today with Deb Mumhill, Executive Director of Oregon STEM, and Kristen Harrison, Executive Director of the Portland Metro STEM Partnership. Now, I want to ask you both this question. How are you collaborating to enhance career-connected learning in Oregon? And what is career-connected learning? Deb, I'll start with you.
All right. Yeah. So we technically, when the legislature and that Senate bill, or House bill, I'm sorry, 3072 was set up, it was to set up these STEM hubs that would have that, again, one foot in industry, one foot in education, and basically at the end of the day, prepare the future STEM workforce. So that was back in 2010, 11, and 12. And so we technically do have this workforce focus and directive that we're going towards. And we feel that if we can get as many students experiencing STEM, which is really critical thinking, communication, creative problem solving, hands-on learning, coming together and talking about what is the problem that we want to solve, and then giving them the tools and the confidence to be able to take that problem, work with others in their community, and come up with testing solutions. You don't always get the solution right away, but to come up and to come up with solutions that you can test and iterate and come back to. And so career-connected learning is kind of the ethos at the end of the day of what we're working towards, but the hubs are sitting in this big system of education. You know, they're going from, it's kind of, we call it K-12 to career, and there's this canyon that sits between the two of awareness. What are the jobs of today? What are we preparing these kids for? So one of the things that we focus on is awareness building, because you can't be what you can't see. And so when you take the T and the technology in that step, You can kind of guess what a scientist is, and you can kind of guess where math is at. But when you looked at that technology and engineering, those are invisible jobs. So how do we help students see themselves in jobs that aren't out there yet? How do we give them access to even experience or understand or know what some of the skill sets that are needed in these emerging jobs? And then how do we make sure that we can get to a career readiness space? And so some of the things that we've been looking at is, and looking at data, Oregon STEM kind of takes this little bit of a national stance, and we're working with national partners, looking at what data is saying out there about Gen Z. They're a completely different generation than we've ever worked with, because they're very justice-oriented, whether it's climate justice, racial justice, food justice, economic justice. They're an amazing, amazing generation if we can get them to engage in what is it that they want to do and what do they want to focus on, and set up opportunities for them to do that. So as we look at that data around what is Gen Z looking towards and what is it that they want to do, we've got to figure out, and what we've kind of come back to in the last couple of years, and industry agrees, education agrees, that we have to start earlier, that we have to start in middle school to start building career awareness and identity, and then to really focus and support the systems of what does readiness mean, and what is it that needs to happen in that K-12, but specifically middle school to high school space, to get to a nursing career, or to get to a engineering career, or a climate engineer career, or clean tech energy, or whatever that is. What is it that is in that gap? And that's what the hubs focus on. They are so in tune to their regions of where are the gaps, where are the jobs in their region, where are their students kind of focusing, and what are we calling the access to opportunity gaps? And a lot of times those are in school programming and courses and curriculum and ways of teaching, to after school experiences that will build that.
Kristen, talk about Portland Metro STEM partnership and career-connected learning.
Yeah. Career-connected learning for us takes on a really wide range of experiences. Our ultimate goal is to have every student get a chance to find that spark. What do I want to do? What do I want to be? And we want opportunities for that spark to occur throughout their educational journey, in class, out of class, you know, when they're in elementary or middle or high, yes and. And how can we help produce as many spark opportunities as possible? And so sometimes that's putting a context around a project that used to just be a math problem. A math problem is great and it resonates for some people, but showing the purpose behind that problem can often have others say, oh, that's what that means. That's what that average means, or that's what that scale means, or that's what that context of that problem means. Sometimes it's also career fairs, out of school programs, internships, job shadows. I mean, there's a huge array of what those things, what things can occur. And we really want to amplify and improve access for students to all of those, with a focus on high wage, high demand jobs. Our goal is to help kids who don't have privilege get access to opportunities to learn and have the opportunities that other kids who have privilege have always had those opportunities. How can we increase that? And a lot of the high-wage, high-demand jobs in STEM and STEAM fields, these are game-changing family jobs. These are generation economic-changing jobs. And we want every kid to have access to those. So we're usually trying to figure out, how can we give as many kids as possible the best opportunity possible? A couple of examples. We have partnered with industry to create videos that embed right into high school science curriculum. So these are core classes, which means kids have to take them. So they have to take their science, 3 years of science. Most of our students in our region and in many regions across the state take a pattern sequence. That is a patterns ninth grade physics course. They take patterns chemistry at 10th grade and patterns biology at 11th grade. So we're partnering with industry. As an example, we worked with Oregon Health Sciences University to produce videos showing the use of waves. Waves is the unit in physics that most folks think, why is this even in physics? And they immediately think water waves, and they might hold up their cell phone and think, well, something's happening in here. But they don't really know a whole lot more. Through those videos, we were able to show how the healthcare sector, uses waves to diagnose through sonography and all diagnose issues, and also to treat cancer through radiation therapy. Different kinds of waves. Gives you a lot more reason to know about frequency and amplitude and things like that when you're talking about a wave that's going to do an entirely different function, but yet both very important functions. And part of that is not only to have kids say, oh, wow, waves actually matter. I should pay more attention. This might be really important to me in my future. But it also helps us look into healthcare as a sector. It is the number one employer in our region and everywhere in Oregon. And most folks, when they think about healthcare, they say doctors, nurses, and the people who check you in.
That's it.
And we really don't think about jobs otherwise. And yet, there's so many other amazing jobs in healthcare. And yay, doctors, nurses, and the people who check you in also. But we want kids to have chances to see the whole idea and say, oh, whoa, I might do that. Mm-hmm. Or I really want to do that. And so how can we help people see differently and also get to hear from practitioners who are in healthcare, as an example for that video. Why are you there? Why does that matter to you? Mm-hmm. And that context mixed with purpose is really a great way, in my opinion, to help students see a purpose to what they're learning and a glimpse into careers outside. We also have externships for teachers. We take teachers into companies mm-hmm. for visits. We show them around, we work with the company, what are you trying to hire for, what skills, what's your core purpose, and really let teachers see into a world that in most cases they have no prior knowledge of what goes on in there. It gives them great context for their classrooms and great stories for their students. Most teachers are like me. I went to school. I went to more school. I went to more school. I taught school. That's really how it works. Yep. And that's fine. And how can we supplement that? That's what I really need. And I think other teachers have really benefited to say, whoa, I've never been, you know, kind of behind the scenes in a healthcare setting. I've never been behind the scenes or into a tech company. I've never seen construction from the inside. Mm-hmm. I've never seen manufacturing of this kind. And that's really what we try to bring, is how can we seed that in to give those teachers in the externship example a chance to tell your students about it. Because yeah. your students listen to you. You're with them every day, mm-hmm. unless you're on the AB schedule. And then you're with them every other day.
Well, I have another question for both of you, but we'll start with Kristen. How are students responding to this locally?
It has been incredible to hear the response. We don't get to hear from students directly. We hear from teachers. And what we'll find is teachers will say, I wasn't sure about how these videos or stories or examples or volunteers would go, but my students love it. They're still talking about it. They tell their parents about it. And they'll say, where are there more of those opportunities? It's the ultimate answer to the question of why or when am I ever going to need to know that. And so what we find is teachers say, I make sure I include it anytime I can because my students respond. They also respond to engineering, that hands-on mm-hmm. way to apply. Those career-connected learning in the form of literally job connections and connections to folks in industry, and also engineering opportunities to apply their science knowledge or their math knowledge into a purpose. Those two things we hear a ton from our teacher partners and our out-of-school educators. That is what keeps their kids coming, and that's what mm-hmm. keeps their kids engaged.
Well, I was just thinking, when I was in high school, I loved math all through school, mm-hmm. but there are times when students are like, when am I ever going to use algebra mm-hmm. or trigonometry? Yep. What? And you're showing them.
Exactly. Problems worth solving with the math that they're learning as an avenue to help solve that problem. The problem matters. The getting the solution to that problem mm-hmm. matters more than just, yay me, I got it right. Mm-hmm. I was the same math student as you were in that situation. I was like, can I get it right? 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 But then later on, what am I going to do with that? Remains an age-old question. So I still get to learn by hearing folks say, oh, this math skill will help you solve this kind of a statistical related question or this kind of an algebraic related question. I've learned what calculus is useful for. Go team. So
I don't think I figured that one out yet. But I'm sure it's out there.
It's pretty important stuff, but it is out there, yeah. Thankfully, we have a lot of models who help build mm-hmm. the computer models and measurement models and other things based on these kinds of mathematical tools. But you still have to know mm-hmm. when something is off, mm-hmm. right? Because a tool is kind of a black box in that sense. And if it produces a result that you think, there's no way that's the force on that, or there's no right. way that's the weight in that situation, you need to be able to know enough of the math and know enough of the situation to say, we should check that. We should check that tool because something's going wrong there.
Well, Deb, let me ask you too. How are kids responding to this statewide?
I am going to dip back a little bit into my past when we were building robots with no curriculum, no coursework, just a box of parts in front of students. And they were tasked with building a competitive robot to do something like, you know, kick a soccer ball or throw a ultimate frisbee. And we knew that once we can gave them a reason to engage, they did. So if part of the strategies that we work around is giving them a vision for their future, putting really fun activities in front of them that they just can't wait to learn more about coefficient of friction or trigonometry so the robotic arm can throw that, you know, basketball through the hoop. So if you can give them the reason and show them why they should engage, they then engage. It's like we can't, it's leading a horse to water. You can't make them drink, but if we can add that relevancy to the rigor, they will lean in. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of examples from Southern Oregon that I wanted to share where from the teacher aspect, a math teacher just took it upon themselves to the CTE construction teacher and said, can I just come in and like job, you know, shadow in your classroom? I just want to see what you teach in construction because I'm trying to come up with some real tangible ways of teaching of trigonometry. And so the teacher goes in, sees how they're, you know, teaching construction, using chalk lines, drawing things out. He then meets with that teacher. And this is just really organic collaboration. It was sparked through some of the work of the hub, but then you turn it into this organic place to grow. That the math teacher could say, well, I'd love to show you a couple formulas if you want to add it into your CTE construction course of this is the reason of why you're doing the chalk lines this way. And then in reverse, he adopted, as he started working with his students, because math teachers don't often go outside, but he did, with all of these chalk lines that he could borrow from the CTE department, and that's how he was starting to teach angles to his students. So those are really beautiful collaborations. From the other side of how the students are reacting, the Oregon Department of Education during COVID, we were in a little bit of a Hail Mary space where they knew that middle school students weren't leaning and even coming into hybrid learning and online learning. So they had some relief money, some ARP, American Relief Funds, that came down from the government that was pushed out into our education systems across the state. And they said, how can we start to re-engage, especially our middle school students? So they started testing this aptitude test. It's based on the ASVAB, and the ASVAB is a military test. Lots of research behind it, but it measures your science, your math, and your language aptitudes. There's an organization that has taken it and basically brought it down into, you know, middle school, high school level, and it gives you your aptitude. And then they wrote an algorithm that blends with it that takes in your voice, choice, and your culture. So it's your interests. So it has your aptitudes and interests blended. And we have a number of students down on a small school on the California border. They're in Oregon. Many of them are Honduran immigrants. They've immigrated here in the last few years. This was one of the schools that did this aptitude testing with these students, and it has been transformational. It's a new voice in their head. It's a voice that they've never had in their head, that you have this aptitude and interest for aerospace engineering or for being an OBGYN doctor or that you want to be a media design artist. And so this new voice has been so powerful that there's one teacher. They don't have CTE courses down there. They have future FBLA, Future Business Leaders of America, but he kind of is a jack of all trades. And the parents are asking their 8th grade, 9th grade students to please drop out of school because where they're finding jobs, they have to put gas in the car and drive 1 to 2 hours to be able to get to that construction job or to get to they have dairies down there that they're working. And the students are coming back because they now are holding on to this new voice and this new vision in their head and saying, you know, mom, dad, they want to respect and they want to contribute to the family to pay for, you know, put food on the table for rent and for gas. But they're saying, we're in America now and I have this aspiration to be this, you know, aerospace engineer, or I thought I was going to have to drop out of school, but now I want to be an OBGYN back in my rural communities. So if we can show them their potential of what they have to offer the world and then what the world has to offer them, and then make sure, and this is kind of the core of our work, is making sure that they're having amazing opportunities to explore in that career-connected learning space, then I think we're going to change we are going to change the trajectory of these students. And then we get really creative because for those students, they still have to bring money home during the school year to help pay for food and gas. So we're building, we're working on grants and philanthropy and doing industry partnerships so that we can pay some of these high school students to go out and see what a job as a nurse or an OBGYN looks like so that they're earning some money during the school year and they can still honor their parents' wishes and contribute to the bottom line.
Cool.
So really powerful.
Yeah. I'm afraid we have to wrap up, but I want to get in there where people can find out more information.
Yeah, you can start with www.oregonstem.org, and there's a donate button because this work is for Oregon STEM is not funded by state or federal. We're funding it through philanthropy and industry partnerships. It's also the place to, it could be one-stop shopping to connect to one of the 13 STEM hubs out there. Great. We are absolutely looking for professionals to come into the classroom to get involved, for industry to get involved in this work, especially to model for the jobs that are out there in the STEM fields. And it's not just engineering. Mm-hmm. STEM is in everything. It's in design. It's in agriculture. It's in food, you know, it's in climate. It's in clean tech energies. It's healthcare is a big one that we're also focusing on. So any way that they want to get involved locally, we can connect them through OregonSTEM.org to the STEM hubs, or if they want to just learn more how they can support this system-wide work, we'd love to hear from them.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in and chatting with me today.
Absolutely.
This has been so fun.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
Thanks so much for having us.
We've been talking today with Deb Mumhill, Executive Director of Oregon STEM, and Kristen Harrison, Executive Director of the Portland Metro STEM Partnership. Thanks again.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.